Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, November 20th. We're back here.
Good morning.
Good morning. A lot going on, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, did your mom make it here okay?
She did.
She did?
Yes.
They're here.
Yes.
And it's sunny.
Yes, it is. And she walked outside this morning and I was thinking, brr, it's cold. And she goes, oh, it's so warm. I was like, well, I'm glad you think it's warm. I think it's cold, but
it's all relative.
She's like, the sun. So she's happy. Yes.
Good.
Very
is it
happy.
Like it's pretty much winter back home for her, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, really cold.
Yeah, they don't get much sun there, do they?
No, it's always gray.
I know, and even in the summer, right?
Yeah.
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 Oh, God.
It's gray a lot of the time. And the airport last night, they flew Delta, and I guess usually there's a connecting flight. Like, they've usually connected, like, they cleared customs in New York or Atlanta.
Right.
So usually I can go to the baggage claim area.
Right.
And you just go to Delta Terminal or whatever. So we get to the Delta Terminal. We're really early because I'm excited. I'm saying to my boyfriend, we have to go now. I don't want to miss them. We get to the Delta Terminal. It is dead.
Really?
There's nobody. I'm like, whoa. Well, where is everybody? There's no flight. The flight isn't on the screen. And I go up to the lady. I'm like, I said the flight number. She's like, Tom Bradley. That's not this airport.
Really?
And I was like, well, where's... I was like, it's not Tom Bradley. I didn't realize that... Tom Bradley is
the building.
The international building at LAX.
Right.
So I'm like, no, no, they flew into LAX. She's like, over there. And she's just very rude. So we're running through the airport because then it's like a mile away to get to the international section. And they'd already come through. They were stood outside waiting on the curb, not knowing what car we were in. We were inside waiting for them.
Wow.
I was like, where are you?
What a mess.
I was like, I feel like they landed like an hour and 15 before that we were stood inside. I was like, I think this is a different flight.
Yeah.
I was like, let's go check outside.
Wow.
There they are, stood on the curb. Wait.
So you had already parked, so you had to walk to the Tom Brady building.
Yeah, yeah. So we were just walking around and aimlessly, not knowing. And nobody knows. There's nobody there that is really working. And then no one knows.
No
and no one's helpful.
Booth,
and it's just like, oh.
I know.
But we found them.
I know. Usually in airports, when you fly, there's information booths, but not here.
Yeah, no.
There's nowhere to ask anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And before I went to sleep last night, I went on Facebook and I saw a post that said, thinking about FSU or something. And I said to my boyfriend, I was like, I wonder what happened. And I looked online, couldn't see anything.
Really? You couldn't see anything?
But this was about midnight.
Okay.
Right as it happened.
Right.
And I woke up this morning and to text messages that there'd been a shooting.
Right.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, like at the library that, well, I never really spent much time at the library, but
right.
Most people I know do.
Right.
And I can't believe that. I can only imagine. And I texted, the swim team is at Georgia Tech. They're doing, they have a swim meet. So
okay.
They're out of town, but one of the girls I know, I texted her, and she just left the library.
Wow.
Right before it happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know it, Florida State, there was a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Three people were injured, but nobody died, right?
One's in critical condition.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. One's
stable.
One's in good condition, and then one was just grazed by a bullet.
Yeah.
But the gunman was asked to put the gun down, shot at the police, so they killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, which it actually sounded like it sounded like the police dealt with it really well. It got under control really quickly.
Mm.
I mean, the fact that he opened fire and no one was killed on the spot just shows that the police did a good job. And I think the students did a good job, too. I mean, it sounded, I'm sure it was chaotic.
Yeah.
Everybody
people
just running
hiding
around.
And
yeah.
Wow. That would be, I mean, because it catches you off guard, you know. You
oh
don't know
gosh.
What the hell's going on.
And the library, I mean, as much as it's a library, a lot of people go there. Like, a lot of my friends would go there and socialize. And right. Because, yeah, you're studying, but you're also with your friends studying. So, and everybody has their food there and drinks. And it's kind of, I don't know, that's just, a lot of people go to the library at FSU. It's a huge, huge library.
Right.
And multiple times it's like, where are you? I'm at Strozier, which is what the library's called. That's just what a lot of people did. They just spent all night there, like studying the whole night before a test. And the fact that somebody just walked in, and I don't know if it was a student or not.
Yeah.
The name hasn't been released
yet. They're not saying
much,
yeah. They're not saying much about the shooter.
Or the people that got injured. They haven't released their names yet either.
Mm.
Which one of my friend's brothers, he's at FSU, and they were getting really worried because they hadn't heard anything from him, but he was just sleeping.
Oh, okay.
But she texted him. It was Sarah Ashley that was here.
Yeah.
She came to the show.
Right.
It was her brother.
Oh, okay.
But he's safe and he's okay.
Good.
He's just sleeping. But it's scary. You don't think it's going to happen to your school, I guess.
Right.
And all those people. But then, I mean, even people that went to UF,
mm-hmm.
University of Florida, I've seen Facebook posts. I've seen all this support. And it's interesting how when such a tragic thing happens, it brings everybody together.
Yeah.
And all the Facebook posts and the pictures, and there's people praying outside the library, because by the library there's a huge, it's not a field, but it's just beautiful grass area with a fountain, and it's right opposite one set of dorms, and it's just hundreds and thousands of people that are out there praying
It's pretty scary, you know, because everybody gets scared, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you don't know what's going on. And this is a place where you go to school, you live, and suddenly it feels unsafe.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. And I mean, who knows? Because and FSU isn't as scary. Like, I never felt unsafe going out at night. It's not a school where there's lots of fights and at the bars and things. It's not a school like that.
Right.
It's a school where people, everyone pretty much knows each other. I mean, all the fraternity sororities, all the athletes, and everybody just knows and likes each other. So for something like this to happen where you do feel safe, I never once felt unsafe at school. So it's definitely, it is really scary.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people, I couldn't imagine being there right now.
Yeah.
I would be so shaken up.
Wow.
Thinking that happened on campus.
Yeah.
Where you feel, and you're supposed to feel more safe there on campus. Like, that's somewhere where you don't think you would ever have to feel unsafe.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, I mean, these things have happened before in colleges.
Right.
And,
I think that I don't think you should be allowed to purchase a gun. In England, in the UK, you can't. And these things, every once in a while, somebody gets shot. But it's every once in a while. Here, it's like every day.
Right.
And every month, there's a big situation like this.
Right.
And I just don't think that they should be allowed to have a gun license or whatever the process is. I don't really know. But if it was banned, if you weren't allowed, then this, I don't think. But now it's too far gone.
Yeah, yeah. And the gun lobby is way too strong to be able to defeat them, you know. So,
yeah.
And this country likes its guns. What can I say, you know? I mean, I don't know if it's from the Wild West or whatever, you know. But it's remained where people like their guns here. They feel safer. Although I don't see how. Because I'm sure a lot of people have guns, but they don't have them with them at all times.
Right.
You know? So I don't know how it possibly helps. But, you know, they say, look, if we don't have guns, then only the criminals will have guns. You know.
Yeah. It's just too far gone now.
Right.
So many people have them that how do you get by it?
Yeah. No, you can't. I mean, that's just part of it. And we are a violent society in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the films that we produce, you know.
Right.
Look at the books that all our culture is filled with violence.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from. I really don't.
It is. And the fact that the gunman's dead means that they're never going to know what ammunition he had for this. I mean, it's terrible that on Twitter this morning, people were blaming Jameis and things like the quarterback, who's had numerous issues with the school. But it's times like this that people should be coming together, not trying to break everybody down and And it's just, it's really sad. Yeah. It's really sad that it happens to, and when it happened, I feel like this is the first big school that it's happened to. Mm. It happened in Santa Barbara, which is not as big of a school as, a state school is always a huge school.
Right.
So for it to happen in such a big, well-known, and especially with everything going on with football right now. I mean, there's so much controversy surrounding Florida State right now with the football team that it's just...
Wow.
I mean, it's just awful.
So a lot's going on there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. You still feel connected to it, though, huh?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
How long did you go there for?
4.5 years.
4.5 years.
Yeah. And oh, I think representing my school swimming, mm-hmm. when I first got to Florida State, I didn't know the meaning of what it's like to represent your school in a sport. And right. then after representing Florida State and doing as well as I did in my sport, and even if I hadn't have done as well or just gone there, I think you gain such a connection to your school.
Right.
I mean, my boyfriend went to Arizona, and he is such a big Arizona fan. He just loves Arizona basketball. He just loves it.
Right.
And I think you just gain, when you've been to the sporting events and you went to the school, and you gain a connection with...
Yeah, it stays with you. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you spent quite a few years there.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. I
mean, you can definitely see how it would be like a home for you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
But it's just... It's really sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
I know. It's like I never knew anybody from FSU, and then suddenly it's like this happens, and I'm thinking, Charlotte, you know?
Yeah.
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 A lot of stuff happening in that school.
Yeah, right? And gosh.
Wow.
I feel like it's just scary because I don't know if this weekend is supposed to be a home game. I think it might be a home football game, but that's just scary in itself, being in such a place with so many people where it's so crowded. I mean, who knows what? I feel like when one thing happens, it puts so many things in other crazy people's minds. And
that's true. It does happen, you know. Yeah. But this was a lone gunman, you know. It's not like anything organized. So
right.
I don't think there's reason to think it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
But who knows, you know. I mean, it's just, it shakes everybody up, you know.
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is, because there's so many, like, the library to get in, I mean, you have to swipe your card. You have to be a student to get in. So he was a student. Yeah. You have to swipe your student ID.
Oh, I see. Okay.
To be able to get through the barrier. So he was a student, and he did go to the school. And and if he didn't, he jumped over the big it's like a...
turnstile or whatever.
Yeah. Which in itself would have raised awareness because there's like security guards there.
Right.
So there is security, which is crazy. But now there's going to be even more.
Yeah.
Which makes it sad as well, because then it's like you see all these security guards, and I don't know if they're going to be checking purses. Who knows what's going to happen? But that's not a nice environment to be in. Nobody wants to have their purse looked through and things like that. So it's just sad all around.
Yeah. I know. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
We're going to have a guest later on, Judy Norton, who was the star of The Waltons. That was a very popular series here back in the 70s or 80s. I don't even remember. I never really watched it, but I remember it was huge. It was a huge series. So she does a lot of different projects and stuff. She's a director and an actress. So we're going to find out what she's up to.
Yeah. Did you also see that Miss Honduras, I said it wrong again, was found dead?
Yes.
By her and her sister were found dead. It was the boyfriend, the sister's boyfriend, that shot the sister after she was dancing with somebody else. It was, I think it was the boyfriend's birthday. They were at a party. And then when Miss Honduras, did I say it right?
Honduras, right.
when she tried to escape, he fatally shot her too.
Wow.
And then they tried to cover it up, but I guess the boyfriend admitted and took them to the bodies.
Wow. What a terrible thing. Yeah. Huh? But this had obviously nothing to do with her being the beauty queen.
Yeah, which is good, I think.
She just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
23-year-old and a 19-year-old.
Wow.
It's just... And yeah. I mean, imagine the parents. You're not just losing one daughter, you're losing two.
Right. Yeah.
I guess the mom had said that they often go out with guys that they don't know much about. They get taken on dates and...
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder why they do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess right. it's, as you're getting to know somebody, mm-hmm. you go on a date with them, but maybe they are too trusting. I don't
right.
know.
Right, too trusting.
Yeah, that's what the statement kind of sounded like.
Yeah. Wow. People dying all over the place.
Yeah.
That's all you hear about.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
You know.
Yeah. It's really wow. sad that... Although my mom and stepdad turned on the TV this morning and I was thinking, oh, don't watch the news. All it's going to be is depressing stuff. And it's two bears that are caught, that are trapped in a house. And my stepdad likes animals more than he likes people, I think. So he was really, he was like, oh, the bears. So he was happy.
Yeah, I know people like that, that like animals more than people.
They have a little, they have a, not a German Shepherd, a Jack Russell.
Oh,
they have
really?
A little Jack Russell, and I mean, she's really, really cute.
Yeah.
But she has them wrapped around her little finger,
really?
Her little dog paw. Yes.
Isn't that funny, though?
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, this dog is, she's crazy. She'll go on like a crazy 10 minutes a day, and she'll just do circles around the couch,
wow.
running for 10 minutes, and then she stops. But then it's like, she has them totally
I know,
wrapped
dogs
around
do
her
crazy
little...
things sometimes,
yep.
huh?
Yep.
Wow.
But they, because they're here, she's staying with a friend for 2 weeks, and they're a little sad. They were like, oh, poor yeah. little Tilly. That's her name.
Wow. I know. I like dogs a lot, you know, but I can't.
Too.
I can't really live with a dog.
Oh, I would love one.
Yeah?
Yeah. A little. I want something mixed with a poodle.
Really? You like poodles?
Yeah. Well, I love how cute they look. Because everything yeah. mixed with a poodle is just looks so cute.
Really?
I would like a cocker poodle or I would like a shih tzu. Like, I wanted a small dog to start with
right.
Until I have a huge yard to
right.
so it can just wander off and play. But I really want a dog.
Really?
So bad. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you grow up with dogs too?
No. When I was first born, my parents had I don't know what kind of dog it was, a sheepdog, I think. But it had to be put down because it was started to bite a lot of people, turned very vicious. It got in a fight in the kennels. It got bitten in the kennels,
really?
And then it just turned really violent, really angry,
wow.
an angry dog. But no, my mom was kind of timid.
Yeah.
She was always kind of scared of dogs.
Oh.
And then they were in the pub one day, and the farmer comes in and was like, I have these three dogs that somebody needs to take them because,
right.
or I'm going to have to kill them. Because the farmers in England, I mean, they're farmers, you
yeah.
know, that's, and my stepdad was like, oh, well, we've got to take one. We can't
right.
have that. So they ended up having a dog. They weren't looking for one or anything.
Whoa.
But he was like, and all the dogs got a home. He would have taken all three if no one else would
yeah.
have taken one. But she's a good dog. She's not a mean dog at all. She's
right.
just, she's hyper, but she's a really nice dog.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if dogs become mean when they're being abused or something.
I think so.
I don't think it's just in their nature. Huh?
I don't think so either. I think
yeah.
something is, like if the owner doesn't treat them right or they get bitten by another dog after a fight in the kennel or something like that, I think that's
yeah.
when they...
Yeah. You get violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really, it's just sad. It's like it's not, it's something that they've been through that makes them.
Right. They don't understand it
yeah.
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then people don't want to be near them.
Right. Exactly.
Terrible.
Yeah.
We talked, remember we talked the other day about Bono falling off his bike.
Yeah.
And apparently it was more serious than we thought it was. It wasn't just his arm. He had like an injury in his eye socket and everything, fractured his eye socket. And apparently this was like he was going like high speed and trying to avoid another rider in Central Park.
Wow.
Because
I saw that he's going to have physical therapy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he'll get
That's
back to
serious.
How he was, but he will have to have
He broke his arm in six spots. Wow.
Ouch.
And his shoulder blade. Wow. You know, and you think bikes are safe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes I wonder, you know. It's like you're never safe anywhere, you know. You got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. It's
I wonder
really
if
true.
He had a helmet on. Sometimes I don't put my helmet on when I ride the bike, which is not a good idea. But yeah, I try not to ride on main streets or anything. But it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, you never know what could be on the road or something, you mm-hmm. know. You just might hit it.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. So they canceled their tour, or part of it at least.
Which I'm sure a lot of fans are really up in arms about.
Yeah, but what can you do, you yeah. know? Yeah. These people are in the public eye, so we expect things from them, and, mm-hmm. you know. But the main thing in the news is Bill Cosby.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah. And this is getting worse and worse for him as more and more women are stepping up. And, mm-hmm.
and now his shows have been canceled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old shows, too,
mm-hmm.
that they're rerunning and yeah. stuff.
And yeah, they were supposed to have something big on Netflix.
Right.
That was going to come out next week for Thanksgiving, and that's been canceled.
Oh, really?
And that was the first thing that started the cancellation process of.
Wow.
And as soon as Netflix did that, NBC started thinking, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Netflix, NBC, TV Land.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants to be associated with him. And, no. you know, he used to be like such a fatherly figure, and people looked up to him, and he was just always in family shows
right.
and things like that. And he was pretty funny at times. I wasn't a big fan, but, you know, it's unfortunate, you know. And he's being tried in the media. We're all trying him. But you know what? The thing is, it probably is true because... too many people are coming forward with this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I mean, there's more allegations and you know, rape and drugging their drinks and everything, and
right,
wow.
And Janice Dickinson, I mean, that's a name that people recognize,
right? She's pretty famous as yeah. if. She was a supermodel.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know how long ago her incident was, but...
In 1982.
Wow, yeah. That's some time ago. Can you imagine
the
all these...
The fifth woman to publicly accuse him of sexual abuse.
Wow. Yeah, look how many there are, man. They're, like, listing all these women. Wow. Barbara Bowman and... Beth Ferrier, whoever those are. But they've been telling about these stories, and nobody, you know, I guess attorneys told them nobody's going to believe you.
Yeah. Well, that's bad of the attorney to say that.
Yeah. I know. And, you know, so they're denying this through his attorney and everything, but he hasn't come out and said anything. I really don't think he should. You know, he's probably going to... just incriminate himself if he opens his mouth.
Yeah. I guess this conversation between Dickinson and Cosby, he wanted her to fly to Lake Tahoe to see him, so she did. Wanted him to meet her at this hotel where they had dinner. And then after dinner, he asked me back to his room, and I went. But I stopped myself at the door. I'm exhausted, I said. And his eyebrows went a little funny. He said, exhausted? It was clever. He was trying hard to keep his temper in check. And he said, after all I've done for you, that's what I get. I'm exhausted.
Wow.
And she said, well, if I'd known it was going to be like this. And she said, he waved both his hands in front of her face, silencing her. Then gave her the dirtiest, meanest look in the world, stepped into a suite, and slammed the door in her face.
Wow. So how did he happen to sexually assault her there? Was there another time?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder what she was doing around him. Maybe they were friends or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
After dinner in my room, so this is a different night, he had given me wine and a pill, and the next morning I woke up and I wasn't wearing pajamas. I remembered before I passed out that I had been sexually assaulted by this man. The last thing I remember was Bill Cosby in a patchwork robe, dropping his robe and getting on top of me.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I know. He's 77 years old, and think of all the skeletons in his closet.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's like he probably thought he got away with it home free, but it's it's coming down hard on him. Wow. Mm-hmm. We'll see how he gets out of this one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Did you hear this? Russian website is now streaming. They've been able to hack into people's webcams, like the baby cam, the nanny cam.
Oh, wow.
Things like that, because apparently many people just leave. They don't put passwords on them. They leave them as a default from the factory, so it's easy to hack into them.
Why do you want to hack that, though?
Because some people are evil. Yeah. And they want to show other people's private lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is crazy. And, you know, amazingly, it's like so many times this stuff happens in Russia that you have to wonder, you know, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
Why are people allowed to do this? But they do, you know. And they're able to get into access into, you know, closed-circuit TVs and everywhere. So it's very important to set your passwords and everything that you have, you know, and
definitely, and
guard everything. Nobody expects that, though, you know. I mean, it's right in your home and all that stuff, but so they're doing this like with thousands of streams and webcams.
Wow.
I mean, including images of babies and hospital patients.
Yikes.
I know. And you can't imagine why it would be other than just being evil.
Mm-hmm. You know, definitely.
Trying to hurt people.
I guess Portland is the world's best beer city.
Really?
Yeah. It has more breweries and beer pubs than any other place.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. You'd never expect Portland, right?
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon. Wow.
Denver and San Diego were contenders, but...
Yeah.
Still.
So a lot of people drink beer there.
Beijing, Bangkok, and Tokyo all have thriving beer cities. Berlin, also. England.
Yeah. I know Europeans are known as drinkers like Germans and the British and stuff. A lot of pubs there.
Yes, a lot of pubs.
I know. I'm not a drinker myself, you know. I never acquired a taste for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I enjoy drinking like in social surroundings and stuff, but I don't buy liquor, you know.
Me too.
Maybe sometimes, you know, with football or something, you know. But
no, I don't enjoy it enough just to sit and have a drink. But if I'm at a bar or wherever, I'll have a drink. But
right,
I'm not.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not big.
But you're not there for the buzz or anything.
No.
Yeah, I know. I don't like the buzz of alcohol. It slows me down. It makes me lose control.
Yeah.
I never got that drunk, though. I think my body's sort of like immune to it or something. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter how much I drink. I never get drunk.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I guess I never drink that much, so I never know.
Yeah.
Maybe I just need more.
Yeah.
Well, there's this terrible hotel in northern England, and apparently there was a couple that stayed there, and they said the hotel is just horrendous, and they gave it bad reviews on TripAdvisor.
Whereabouts in northern England?
Let's see where it says. It probably says, but I don't know. It just says northern England here. I'm sure somewhere down the article it says so. But the couple, is it Blackpool? Is that part possible?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Blackpool. So then they go home and they discover on their credit card a charge of £100. Hold on, our guest is calling, so we're going to take that first. Good morning, you're on the air. Is this Judy?
It is.
Judy Norton, thank you so much for calling in. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
We're great. Are you calling us from L.A.? Is that where you live?
I am, yeah.
Oh, awesome. You're working on many projects and stuff. Obviously, people know you mostly from the Waltons. How long ago was that? That was in the 80s, right?
70s and 80s, because it ran 9 seasons. We did the pilot in 71. We started the series in 72. series ran till 81. In 82, we did three TV movie specials. And then, yeah. And then 10 years later, over the course of about 5 years, we did three more TV movies. So you did a lot of my life.
Yeah, you did a lot of growing up while you were doing this, obviously.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a long time to be on the show. Was that your first major role?
First major role. I mean, I had been acting since I was about, started off doing theater, then doing commercials and, episodes of television shows and, things like that. And then The Waltons was, pretty much my my big break.
Right. Yeah. But you've managed to do a lot of different things after that, so people know you for a lot more than that. So not only are you an actress, but you're a director as well. Are you a producer, too? Do you produce shows?
I have. I do some work in that line, but, I tend to work more on the creative side, writing, directing, acting, singing, sometimes to get things happening, you end up taking on a lot of producer kind of duties also.
That's true.
Do you prefer the on-camera or the off-camera better?
I like them both. They're different, but they're still storytelling. Yeah. If I'm writing, I'm creating the story. If I'm directing, I'm shaping it and deciding what the vision, how it's going to be told. If I'm acting, I'm personifying the story. So, they all kind of... They blend together, and I find they each are pieces of that puzzle. So to any one that I add, I find it helps me, and I think it makes me better in the other areas as well.
Right. Yeah. Now, so your career focused mostly on TV, right? Have you been in any films, motion pictures?
I have done some film, yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a film that I wrote but also had a role in. Is just kind of hitting the festival circuit and just won sort of the top award at the International Family Film Festival.
Congratulations.
About a week or so ago. Yeah. A film called Finding Harmony starring Billy Zane and Allison Eastwood. So we're hoping that that will be picked up for fuller distribution soon and that people will have an opportunity to see it.
Right. Yeah. So in Finding Harmony, what was your role in it? Do you star in it as well?
I just did a little cameo as a realtor.
Okay.
So a fun little thing. I had, a handful of scenes and worked with Allison and with Billy. It was interesting to, I actually haven't had a chance to see the film yet.
Oh, wow.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how something that was originally my brainchild. It's always fun to watch it either on screen or I've directed, written and directed television as well, and it's always interesting to watch something come to life in that way, whether I directed it or someone else directed it.
Like a little baby that you work on for a long time.
Yeah.
What else are you working on? I see that you're working on a TV series being shot in Calgary. Tell us a little bit about that.
We're just in the process of developing the second season. The first season, it really focused in sort of a cop drama, very female-driven, and following the personal lives of the characters as much as the cases that they're investigating. Season one of Bluff is available on DVD now, and in season two, we're transitioning them a bit out of the police station and into more of an undercover operation investigating human rights violations, and in particular in season two, we're focusing on the whole human trafficking issue, which is far more prevalent, unfortunately, than I think we'd like to believe in today's society. So we wanted to sort of shed a little light on that and, raise people's awareness of it while we, entertain and tell a story. And again, we're following also the lives of these people and some of their, personal issues that they're dealing with and also kind of, we wanted to explore the whole gray area of right and wrong, and when does doing something that crosses a line, if it's for the greater good, when is that okay or not okay? You know, where do people stand on that issue of what, you know, when do the ends justify the means? And, you know, so, yeah, kind of looking forward to that one. We're just, you know, kind of working out the storylines and the script stuff for season two, and, right, you know, looking to get that going.
So how does that work now? I mean, you go ahead and you shoot the series, probably a pilot first, right? And then you shop it around?
Well, season two, we shot six episodes. I mean, okay. Season one, yeah, six episodes were shot. And then it picked up, it had distribution in Canada. And then it had some limited distribution in the U.S. And then we had an opportunity to put it into a SCD and, you know, kind of pay-per-view sort of situation. And it sort of helped then open the door for the expansion into season two, which will be a more broader syndication distribution for that. So at this point, we, again, we're going to shoot 13 episodes is the plan. We're looking to pull together financing for that because it is a situation because we don't have a network directly behind us. Where it has to be produced and then delivered.
Right.
So that's always a little trickier. It's a little, you know, that type of thing happens a lot these days with independent productions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I see that you're also involved in theater. I guess that's your passion as well, in addition to TV and film and stuff. Tell us a little bit about that. You perform at the Golden Age Theater here in L.A., and so tell us a little bit about that.
I started in theater, as I mentioned, as a child, and I've worked with repertory companies, and I've done a lot of writing, directing, and performing in theater, musical theater. The Golden Age Theater has a unique aspect to it because it's sort of like live books on tape. They go back sort of to the old...
Hello? Judy? Oh, no, we lost her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a bad connection.
Yeah,
anyway,
the connection
right?
wasn't great.
Yeah.
Okay. Edgar Bergen, and that was the primary form of entertainment for people. Actors who will basically kind of do like a books on tape thing, but live, and read. It'll be narrated, and then different actors take on the different characters. They might take on several characters, sound effects, and, you know, some costuming, but, you know, basically just in front of the microphone reading it. And it is incredibly entertaining, and L. Ron Hubbard had this gift for bringing it to life and engaging the audience, because the audience, it's kind of theater of the mind. The audience needs to create the visual for themselves, you know, when he's talking about flying a fighter plane that, you know, mock whatever, and, you know, being chased by some, you know, fighter pilot behind him who's trying to gun him down. And, you know, you create those visuals, or a train, you know, robbery or something like that, or racing across the desert on a horse. Everybody will conjure up their own images of that. And so it really requires that the audience participate and do that. And the stories are exciting, and they've got, you know, sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're sad, sometimes they're, you know, wild, and, you know, and because they're
interact a bit more with the fans and the people that are coming to enjoy the performance.
Definitely, because you not only have the energy that they are giving back to you and their live responses, so you can, you know, you can hear the laughs and you can feel the energy that they're giving back to you, and then you have the opportunity to interact with them afterwards and meet and greet and, you know, take pictures together. And so, you know, theater does have that additional energy, whereas, you know, with film or television, there's a long delay before you have an opportunity to even see what was done or, you know, ever really interact with the audience who saw it, unless it's your friends and family who went to see it.
You get immediate feedback. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. So there's a bunch of actors. It's not just you, right? reading the stories.
No, definitely. There's a stable of actors, you know, and new people are added all the time. And, you know, and oftentimes you'll come. There's a lot of actors that do a lot of, you know, voice work, and, you know, that are, their voices might be really recognizable because they do a lot of cartoon work or, you know, voiceover work. And then you've got, you know, someone like a Nancy Cartwright, who's the voice of Bart Simpson. She might come in and guest. Or Marty Cove from the Kung Fu movies. He'll come in and guest. Or Bruce Boxleitner, or, you know, David Carradine had done a number of them before he passed away. And then there's, you know, there's people you may not know. They're up and coming, but they're just immensely talented. And so it's just always fun if people want to come check it out. You can find out about tickets and stuff at GoldenAgeTheater.com, and it'll give you all the information about the upcoming shows and who's going to be in them. And there's always some pre-show music that do that. Sometimes I'll do the music beforehand. I'll come in and sing, you know, about 20 minutes worth of music that might, you know, with some link into the show. And it's kind of a nice little evening, and there's a little reception afterwards. And so tickets are like really inexpensive. So it's kind of like one of the best kept secrets in Hollywood. I think it's like sort of on the to-do list if when people and tourists are coming into town, as something that's just a fun, entertaining, easily affordable evening.
Yeah.
Cool, very cool. Well, Judy Norton, everybody check out Golden Age Theater. Also check out your website, judynorton.com. It tells everything about what you've been up to and what you're doing and so forth. And, you know, congratulations on all these projects. You sound like you're pretty busy.
Thank you.
It's,
I have a lot of fun in, you know, moving around between the various different projects. Just, you know, keeps me jumping and gives me new challenges all the time, and it's, you know, what I love to do.
Yeah, exactly. You're living your dream, and that's the important thing, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Judy, thank you so much for calling in. Congratulations.
My pleasure.
Yes, congratulations on everything, and good luck with Finding Harmony, too. Are we going to be able to see it anywhere?
I hope so. I hope soon we'll be able to announce, you know, where it's being released and, you know, release dates and theaters. And, you know, I'm sure that then once it's had its initial theatrical release, it'll be available on DVD. And so there'll be an opportunity for everybody to find it in some capacity before too long.
Sounds good. Okay, Judy, well, thank you so much again, and all the best to you.
Thank you. You guys take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That sounds cool.
I know. I like when people can, like, live their dreams, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're young, you go, I want to get into acting, and then you actually do it.
Definitely.
You know?
And I can see how a live stage is more, I can see how it's more fulfilling and more interesting. And every Saturday night, that's cool.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I know. And you do things that you love, you know? I mean, that's amazing, you know? And but I'm sure it helps when you become a star as a young actor and stuff, you know, because it opens up doors for you later on.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take it for granted or count on it, and you've got to work hard. Everybody's got to work hard. I'm sure even though she's been in the Waltons and other films and stuff, she still has to work hard, you know,
in order to get
to where she wants to be.
Yeah, definitely.
So just to finish that story with the people in the hotel, they got like a charge of £100 on their credit card. And when they found out, when they checked into this, they found out they were being penalized for putting up a bad review on TripAdvisor.
Wow.
Yeah. So the hotel like penalized them $150.
That's illegal.
Well, maybe not. You know, maybe they have it somewhere in their contract
maybe.
And it doesn't say.
Wow.
But it's, yeah, I mean.
So they must be scanning TripAdvisor to be able to find that. But I know some places, I mean, some restaurants will give you a free dessert or a free appetizer if you give a good Yelp review or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. I know, which makes sense, you know, but to penalize you for that.
And 100 pounds.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
And the guy's saying, I mean, the drawer fronts fell off, you know, the hot water didn't work. And they're saying that, yeah, they're saying that it was so terrible there that they just had to, they couldn't believe the state of the room. And the hotel is like constantly, yeah, we're aware of it. We'll fix it in the morning type of a thing.
Yeah, and they never do.
Yeah, and they just stay there for one night, you know.
Wow.
Wow.
That's, I mean, I would be furious.
I know.
To get charged.
I know, after you feel screwed by this hotel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you even end up in a hotel like this? I mean, there can't be possibly be good reviews for it.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it was that cheap.
I know.
But then the 100 pounds makes up for it that they charged for the bad review.
Right. I wonder, I should go on TripAdvisor and find this hotel and see what kind of reviews it's been getting. Wow. I guess in Indonesia, when women want to join the police force, they have to go through a degrading test for virginity. I think we've talked about something similar before, some time ago. But here they actually check them for virginity before they can join the police force.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the thing is that it gets more and more ridiculous every time you hear these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like okay with it, you know. I mean, it's just like, I mean, obviously they're protesting and stuff, but the governments in these places, you know, these Islamic places, they pull all this stuff and people just have to go along with it. You know how degrading it is to have to go through something like that?
I can only imagine.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awful.
I know. And the police, of course, justify this. They don't want communicable diseases and so forth, you know, STD and stuff. But what does this have to do with anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's not.
It's just bullshit, man.
Yeah.
They just want to demean their women and degrade them. And they're saying, you know, I mean, these women saying it's painful and traumatic. And I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty awful stuff, you know. But my question is, why would you even, you know, I mean, if you wanted to join the force and they subjected you to this, just tell them go to hell. And I don't want to be in the police.
Yeah, maybe it's their passion that much, though, and that's all they want to do. Well,
right.
They have no other option.
Yeah.
And they have to.
And they don't know any better, you know.
Exactly.
They don't know that it can be different.
Exactly.
When you grow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. And finally, I guess they just made a anti-Barbie doll that looks like an average person. Her name is Lamely. And
is it done by Bobby?
No. This is a guy, Nikolai Lam, and who asked himself, what would Barbie look like if she had dimensions of an average woman? So they also have like stickers to put on it of pimples and and moles and cellulite and scars.
Well, that's that just silly. It's a toy doll.
I know. But they made a shorter and broader brunette.
So I guess the same. There's more brunettes than blondes.
Maybe just the anti-Barbie, you know, so they made everything different.
Yeah.
She still looks pretty, though. You know, I'm sure they would make ugly doll. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Tomorrow's your last day. I'm sad. But we're going to have a special guest here, although they may not be on the mic, huh? Oh, well.
Maybe. We'll see.
Can't sit in here and not talk on the mic, you know? All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Thanks, Judy Norton, for calling in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.